A Square of One's Own. Memoirs of the Budsbury Circle by Lytton Strychnine. Chapter 2. The General Strike. In conflict, our group sided instinctively with the underdog, while mindful of the paradox that the underdog who bites becomes an altogether less sympathetic beast. As I reflected, en route to visiting Mrs. Virginia Woolf, one day in May, 1926.
Deep is red, it's shrouded off our martyr's dead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Strychnine.
Ah, Nash, I didn't recognize you attired in your...
overalls, sir.
Yes, yes, and bearing a banner in place of your customary tea tray. Although whether that would be appropriate in the middle of Budsbury Square...
Forgive me if I have disconcerted you, sir. I am on my way to Picket. The Budsbury Press, sir.
The Budsbury Press boasted a reading list acclaimed for its range and variety. Its coveted imprint graced not only Virginia's novels, my own biographies, Mr. Clive Pill's art criticisms, and Mrs. Vita Sockville Pest's definitive guide to landscapism, but also several more modest tomes by authors some of us hardly knew.
Does Mrs. Woolf know of your picketing, Nash?
It is her suggestion, sir.
Really?
Strictly speaking, my suggestions are, though she agreed with some alacrity when I pointed out that if I did not picket the Budsbury printworks...
Others would, who were perhaps less punctilious.
Exactly, sir. And with the revised edition of Mr. Pill's Civilization about to go to print...
He's revised it?
With additional appendices, sir.
I am dumbfounded at the achievement, Nash.
Understandably, sir. Anyway, with so much at stake, it is better to be safe than sorry. Ah, Dr. Coins. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Nash. Lytton.
John.
Johnny. You're dressed up like a dog's dinner, Nash.
He's, picketing the press.
Oh, I get you. Keeping the hoi polloi at bay until the poor wretches go grovelling back sometime around... when is it? May the 12th. On double time, eh?
And time off in lieu, sir.
Well, off to Ginny's shindig, then. Fancy a lift in the old jalopy, Lytton?
I did not.
That's very kind, John.
My pleasure. So long, Nash.
Sir, if I may offer a word of advice, sir, try to avoid parking your car on Budsbury Square. These undergraduate bus drivers can be somewhat erratic, sir.
Thanks for the tip, Nash.
Incidentally, Nash, I take it we should let ourselves in at number 26.
I fear so, sir. The other servants are all on strike.
A proper strike, you mean?
Yes, sir. They all wanted to picket the printworks with me when Mrs. Woolf demurred.
They walked out.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Is that the time? I'll have to drop you at Ginny's, Lytton. Just remembered, urgent appointment with my insurance broker, the old motor. Oh, well, love you and leave you, Nash.
Cataclysmic times, indeed, in the midst of which one thing alone remained constant. The atmosphere of number 26, Budsbury Square, where Virginia held court. Here, too, was flurry and turmoil, but a familiar, comforting flurry and turmoil.
Oh, God!
Virginia!
Lytton, why are you here?
At your invitation, Virginia.
What? Today? I can't have.
No doubt I misunderstood your letter. Here.
Dearest Lytton, do come for charades, games and readings on... May the 6th. You've got the wrong date, Lytton. It's the 2nd. See the calendar?
I do see it. You have merely omitted to update it.
Update it.
Rip off the page saying 2 and reveal that saying 3. Voila! The same for 3, 4, 5.
Oh, Lytton, save me. The mists of infinity swirl about me.
Corroboration is at hand, Virginia. John Coins has just arrived. And Vita.
Coins' route had taken him, by happy coincidence, past King's Cross, where Vita had hailed him, mistaking him for a taxicab.
Dearest Virginia!
Ginny!
What? Vita. Mwah. I've been counting the days to the 6th.
What?
Schwartz, games and reading.
The 6th! It is the 6th, isn't it?
She's overwrought. Nash forgot to change the calendar.
Oh.
Virginia, let us endeavour to attain a chronological consensus by listening to the wireless.
Good evening, on Thursday the 6th of May.
No!
7 o'clock news from the BBC.
You see, Virginia, definitely the 6th.
Everybody's trying to trick me! Even the BBC!
Hey, darling, everybody, sorry we're late. I've been taking Clive's photograph.
For the new book, Civilization. Revised it, you know.
New appendices, I gather.
Yes, every year one of us writes a fresh book or takes room somewhere. It all needs recording. Same with my photograph. Last one made me look, fat.
So this time I just did head and shoulders.
Late. Early. Time.
V? Oh, is she having one of her tizzies?
Time is orange 1908, making marmalade trifle.
Oh, I might have known. She's been reading Proust again. I've a good mind to throw that book away. There, there, V, darling. Let's have something to eat. I'm famished.
Wait for me. I'll help her too.
By the way, that's your car out there, Johnny. One of those buses just nearly hit it.
Damn!
You ought to move it.
Good idea. Another 6 inches should do the trick.
Ah! Help! Help! Somebody around! Catch him! Catch him! What?
All right. Stand back, everybody. Leave this to me. There. Won't hurt you now, darling. See?
You've killed it!
Come on. Good Lord. Dining room's like a pigsty. Can't have been cleaned for days.
All is flux. Metamorphosis.
Oh, these.
No wonder, probably the pong in here.
Look, clearly we'll have to postpone any idea of soiree until we've got things shipshape.
Yes,
all right.
So, modus operandi, Lytton clear up the dishes in the dining room.
Righto.
Vanessa, wash, Vita, wipe.
Right.
John, cleaning, find the vacuum cleaner.
Righto, bring a duster for you, shall I?
What? I'll keep an eye on Virginia. Oh dear, she looks dreadful. Smelling salts, anyone?
Here.
Thank you. Oh, that's better.
We toiled unstintingly. And often have I mused that were society at large organized upon the principles of fellowship and common purpose that inspired us that night, what new Jerusalem might not arise.
Vita, how can I remove these stubborn, greasy marks?
How should I know? I'm not a professional skivvy.
Johnny, careful with that nozzle.
Sorry, these awkward nooks and crannies.
Yes, allow me.
Lytton, careful with that nozzle.
But if our labours were prodigious, our pride and satisfaction in a job well done were in proportion.
Yes. Bravo. You know, gazing upon you all, I am reminded of nothing so much as one of those heroic Soviet posters depicting the dignity of labour.
Where does this penny go?
Marvellous expression, dignity of labour.
Might help if they did a bit of labouring for a change. Good job critics don't go on strike.
Oh, Clive, really? This is all because of his silly book.
Silly? Civilization with appendices, silly?
These supplies of paper and ink can't get through, so Clive's book is being held up. That's all.
All? All? I'm being censored by... barbarians!
I'm sure some way of averting the tragedy will suggest itself. Perhaps John knows someone.
The black market, of course. Johnny, darling! Johnny!
What? Oh, sorry, miles away. I'm just watching this bus. Hold on. Bang! Yes! Okay. He's hit my car. It's a write-off. Oh, dear. Good job I'm on government business.
Virginia's soirees?
No, meeting with Churchill tomorrow. Advice on the strike. I don't know. You do your best for the country. Stay with friends to get an early start and through no fault of your own.
Coins was demonstrating, not for the first time, that the mind of the economist shares many qualities with that of the writer of fiction.
The very least a grateful nation can do is cough up a bit of compensation. Oh, well, better go and get the driver's name.
I'll have to rearrange my plans too, Virginia.
What?
I had hoped for a lift from Johnny. Now I'll have to stay until the strike's over. Here, with you.
How vexing for you, Vita.
Oh, well, never mind. In one way, it's quite lucky.
How?
Someone must take care of you, Virginia, until your beastly servants come back.
She's clearly touched by your self-sacrifice, Vita.
Oh, come, dear girl. I'll put you to bed.
This is what happens when time spins from our grasp.
I shall protect you all night long.
Poor V. We should stay, too, and keep an eye on her. We'll sleep in the pink room, shall we, darling?
Yes. Once Johnny's done haggling, I'll lock up. Can't be too careful, the riff-raff roaming around.
I'll fetch some sheets from the linen cupboard. Oh, isn't this fun, darling, playing at servants? Clive! Litton! Come quickly!
What is it?
Something's scrabbling through the dustbins. Oh, it's another rat, Clive!
Stand back. I'll deal with it. There! That's...
Ow! Don't hit me! I'm going!
Put the lights on, Vanessa. Let's see him. As I thought, that flat cap, it's a striker.
No, I'm not, sir.
Twisted with envy at our so-called privilege and come to wreak class revenge.
No, I'm just an ordinary working man, sir. I hate all this Bolshevik sedition. I'm on the hunger march, see? That's why I was looking through your bins for a bite to eat. All I want's a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, sir, to feed the bairns and to live in a land fit for heroes.
Oh, let him come in, Clive. He sounds rather sweet.
Well, all right then. See if there's any leftovers.
Yes, I'm sure we can find you something. Come in.
Well, that's sorted out our friend on the double deck. Hello, who's this? Pleased to meet you. John Coins. Johnny.
Geordie Brown. Likewise, I'm sure.
All right, in you get. We'll see if we can find you some chores to do. But remember, any trouble and it's the police. This is a civilized household.
Mankind is perhaps the only ubiquitous species on Earth, at home in equatorial jungle and Arctic tundra alike. This capacity to adapt and thrive in the least welcoming of environments, Geordie demonstrated to a quite admirable degree.
Oh, God.
Okay, it's me. Can I come in? Clark said you might be a bit peckish-like, so I brought you a cupboard and some foie gras butties.
Put it down there with the others.
Oh, Pat, you've got to eat.
I can't. You wouldn't understand.
I might. What is it, Pat?
It's ridiculous, but at times I think I'm going mad.
Do you?
Yes. I find myself lost in despair.
That's not mad, Pet. There's a lot to despair about.
It's so easy for you. Look at the whole desperate motley of your life. Means tests, barefoot children, the appalling vista of your future.
Industrial injuries, don't forget them.
Yes! A dismal litany of misery from the cradle to the blessed release of the grave.
What about the bread and scrape for dinner? Hey, bread and scrape.
You see? You'd be mad if you didn't despair. Whereas I...
There, Pat. You know, even me, like, some days I get up and I sing like a lark, right ecstatic. If that isn't balmy, what is?
You mean you understand ecstasy?
Why, Pat, I'll tell you a story. Last year it were, a sister wore lass, I know, let's make up a picnic and row out to the old lighthouse.
Yes.
Be a grand day out, I said.
Yes.
Look forward to it for days, we did.
Yes.
And none of us have stopped talking about it since.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Told you I understand, didn't I?
And you do. You do. You're an artist, like me. Oh, Geordie.
What are you doing?
Get off her, Virginia. Is he manhandling you?
Peter, leave him. He understands.
I'll give him understand. Take that, you brute.
Oh, get her off me. Help me, Nick.
Count yourself lucky. If you're ever up before my bench, I'll have you gelded.
Peter, allow me. I'm sure Geordie meant no harm, would you, Geordie?
Oh, my.
Poor fellow. Come, look, I've got just the cure for that, Nick.
Geordie, don't leave me.
Oh, I've got to, Pet. I'll see you tomorrow.
Write down your story, Geordie.
An empathetic disposition is, for the biographer, a sine qua non. Yet this faculty may, like a knife, become blunt through disuse. It is thus an onerous professional duty to seek out the company of those whose experiences differ from one's own, be they sailors, stable lads, or unemployed riveters.
There, how's that, soothing?
Why, aye, that's right nice, Mr. Strychnine, sir.
Good. Now the top of your back. Oh, what a Hellenic physique you have.
Helen? What, like a lass you mean, Mr. Strychnine?
No, far from it. I mean, those biceps, those classically proportioned pectorals.
Oh. Anything the matter, Mr. Strychnine?
No, I was just thinking of your returning to Jarrow, the means test, the barefoot children.
The industrial injuries and the bread and scrape? Aye, well, never mind. Can't be helped.
Have you ever thought of service?
You mean...
As a valet. A gentleman's personal gentleman.
Well, I...
Before you dismiss the idea, consider. What future is there in the shipyards,
Well, not much, Mr. Strychnine. As an industry, it's subject to cyclical fluctuations of demand and long-term structural decline.
Precisely. What?
Dr. Coynes explained it to me, sir.
Ah, yes, Coynes. Coynes? He doesn't want you as his valet, does he?
He wants me to be his chauffeur. He's getting one of them new Bentleys from his compensation money, like.
His... You'd have to live in Cambridge, you know. You ever been there?
No.
Oh, a dreadful place. Nothing to do, nowhere to go.
Can't be that bad, as long as there's somewhere for a pint and a game of crib.
Oh, well, there are no pubs in Cambridge. Not one. You'd be far better off in London, with me.
Aye, well, I'll think about it.
I'm thinking of getting a car myself. You could help me choose it. We could get a Bentley.
It's all right. I turned Dr. Coynes down anyway.
Oh, you did?
And sadly, I must say no to you too.
Oh. Oh, well, if you change your mind...
You'll have first refusal, no doubt at all, sir.
Excellent.
And not just because you're a better masseur.
What? You mean Coynes?
Oh, here you are, Geordie. Oh, say cheese.
Aye, Mrs. Pill. Oh, hold on, I'll just put me keks on.
Vanessa, what are you...
She's experimenting with the medium of film, aren't you, pet?
Yes, and Geordie's kindly agreed to pose for me. It's a picture of a coal miner which I'm giving to the TUC.
Very idealistic of you.
Well, Clive's been so beastly, it's the least I can do. Come on, Geordie, darling.
Just come in, Mrs. Pill.
We've got plenty of coal in our garden shed and a lovely pick and shovel. Bye, Lytton.
Bye.
Oh, by the way, the soiree's at ours tonight to give thee a break. Do come. Johnny is fixing everything. Oh, and everyone simply must dress as an artisan. Oh, come on, Geordie, darling. You're so photogenic.
Rare is he who combines the mind of a scholar with the vigour of a man of action. Coynes was such a man. To recount whose deeds is to court accusations of invention, even when the chronicler, in this case me, has merely paraphrased to enhance precision. Let then this calumny not be levelled at myself.
This is the news from the BBC. The intransigence of the trades union leaders continues, with the whole of the country at a virtual standstill. Reports are coming in that supplies of essential goods are dwindling.
What about civilization, art, our bloody soiree? It's martial law! They've sent the troops in! Come on, shoot the swine! Officer, if you wish to set up a checkpoint, then by all means feel free. Johnny?
Shh!
What are you doing? That armoured car.
Borrowed from Chelsea Barracks. Friend of mine at the MOD. Oh, it's a long story. Now, we need a bit of muscle power.
What?
To unload this lot. There's champagne, smoked salmon, this and that from the officer's mess, basically.
Johnny!
And it's another trip to the Budsbury Printworks, all in aid of your book, I hope you realise.
Civilization?
That's the chap. There's 10 rolls of paper rammed up the gun barrel, plus 2 barrels of ink. Have to get our skates on, this thing's due back by 7.
What? Not declaring martial law, are they?
No, the Bishop of Oxford wants to borrow it. Is that Vanessa?
Yes.
Maybe she could give us a hand.
No, I've got a better idea. Oi! Georgie, whatever your name is, come and make yourself useful. Get this stuff shifted. And Johnny, if you go and fetch Virginia and Vita...
Metaphysical speculation has no part in the art of the biographer. Yet, observing Clive and Vita that afternoon, in the light of an admittedly superficial knowledge of Napoleon and Boadicea, I found myself pondering the evidence for reincarnation.
Make way, barbarians!
Vita, I shouldn't lean from that gun turret lest an enraged populace be moved to throw coal of stones at you.
Let them try it. They'll get 5 rounds rapid if they do.
This cramped and mean existence, us crushed inside, crushing them outside.
Cramped, pet? If you'd like a bit more room...
I wouldn't press that thing, Clive.
Takes me back to student days, like boat race night.
Ah, I see we have arrived at the printing press works.
It's Nash! Let us in, Nash! We have paper and ink, the blood and skin of literature.
Bread for the workers, not books for the shirkers, ma'am.
Don't drop him in it. Very well, if that's your final word, Nash.
It is, sir. I'm on the other side now.
The other side?
Yes, sir, the other side. Do you understand?
I think so, Nash. I won't forget this. He's left the back door open for us. That's what he means by the other side.
And so the loyal retainer's cryptic message proved.
Here we are. Right, Lytton, you open the door. Quick now, Vita, swing the gun barrel round.
What? This knob here?
That's the one. Right, dip it. And you, Georgie, whatever your name is, get the rolls of paper out.
Right.
Oh, let go of the thing, man. It's not a ride at the fairground. Use a bit of intelligence.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, poor Nash.
Geordie, allow me. Come here.
No, here, I'll do it.
No, don't mind, gents. No more massages.
Look, stop all this nonsense. This button here says gun barrel.
Oh, well, saves carrying them in, I suppose. Now for the barrels of ink.
Might I suggest we roll them in?
With the precious supply of slim volumes back under production and civilization itself shored up against the forces of Philistinism, other matters now thrust themselves to the forefront of the agenda.
Righto, Ginny, if you're all organised.
A house of books, a temple of words wherein we worship.
We'll leave you to it, yes? Happy as a stockbroker in May. Right, off we go, then.
Where are we going now, John?
The West End, still got a few things...
Of course! Oh, you're such a darling, I've completely forgotten. We all need our costumes.
Costumes?
Yes, overalls. And whatever artisans wear. For the soiree!
Actually, we're off to the Bentley showroom in Park Lane.
Well, let's go via Bayswater, then. There's bound to be a shop selling poor people's clothes there.
Bayswater? A bit lost round that neck of the woods.
Well, I'll drive then, Johnny darling. Come on, give me the wheel. Yes, I've been learning! Oh, I'm ever so good, aren't I, Clive?
Don't let her!
Oh, stop panicking, darling. I know what I'm doing. It's a lovely, clear road.
Stop! We're heading straight for Marble Arch.
Oh, so we are. Oh, whoops! Oh, wrong turning. Never mind. Try again.
Hey, Pet, isn't that speaker's cord?
In recounting history, one should, if possible, emulate the cubists, showing every facet of a thing and eschewing the vulgar satisfaction of the figuratist in a painting which, to the uneducated, gives a superficially closer likeness. This shall be my approach in this instance.
Brothers and sisters,
yes.
Are we united?
Yes!
Are we defiant?
Yes!
Shall the authorities break us?
Never!
Look at them! They may have guns on their side. They may have armored cars on their side. But what are our weapons? I'll tell you. We have right on our side. We have justice on our side. And in the end, which is the most powerful?
Whoops! Awfully sorry, darlings. I say... You don't happen to know the way to Bayswater, do you?
We do not make history. History makes us. We are gadflies, vainly flapping our wings in the midst of great hurricanes. Alas, much history is written, as it were, by gadflies, who elevate, say, a minor traffic mishap into an event of pivotal importance. Such accounts may even attain a spurious credence.
This is the news from the BBC on Thursday, the 13th of May. Despite yesterday's belated acceptance of the mine owners' generous terms, the TUC leadership remains obdurate and surly.
All right, Nash, you're not paid to sit listening to the wireless all day.
Yes, sir. Preparations for the celebratory end-of-strike soiree, I presume?
A bit less presumption and a bit more work, Nash. And what you don't disturb Mrs. Wolf. She's creative.
Yes, ma'am.
No, it's charades in the pink room, food in the lemon room, right. Dancing in the beige room, and music in the tangerine room. Now, erecting the stage. Lytton, you and I and Johnny shall... Where's Johnny?
Picking up his new Bentley. Perhaps if Geordie's around,
No.
Well, he's a good strong lad, rippling back muscles, and if he strains himself, I can always give him a rub.
Where is he, incidentally?
Packed him off last night. Strike server, servants back. Don't need him. Besides, where would he sleep?
Well, there's a put me up in my room, and then when I move into number 32 next month...
No, out of the question. Give him ideas about his station. Anyway, here's Johnny now.
Hello, chaps. Do you like new Bentley, then? There's still 50 quid left over from the insurance.
Characteristically enterprising of you, Johnny.
By the way, I brought the newspapers. Times, Telegraph, Mail, Mirror, Manchester Guardian.
What, all of them?
If you want to know the truth, compare the lies. Actually, Vanessa put the order in. I think she's making a papier-mâché Tommy gun for the soirée.
Ah! Oh, Jenny, come back!
No, I must know. Is it true?
Is what true?
You sent Geordie away. Oh, how could you? He was an artist. He understood ecstasy.
Yes, you might have consulted us. You've upset Ginny.
Look, Vita, take her away and give her something. Virginia, he wasn't an artist, you know. He was a workman. How could he have been?
Do you think I haven't asked myself? I don't know. How could a member of the lower orders tell such an exquisite story as that to the lighthouse?
There, Virginia. Lie down. You'll soon forget him.
Forgetting? Oh, oblivion be mine.
Intriguing.
What? The Daily Worker? What are you reading that rag for, Lytton? Put it down and...
It's this article entitled Eminent Budsbrins. Interesting title.
Let me see. My 6 days with the parasites of Budsbury?
Hunger Marcher Geordie Brown. Rescued from the streets when... Exploitation and slave labour?
Bourgeois? They call us bourgeois? This is outrageous! Ruling class buffoons is Hyde Park.
Brought that up, has he? Well, good job it's the Daily Worker. At least nobody will believe it.
And as if all that's not
enough... Hello, darling. Oh, look, there's a picture of you in the newspaper. Do you know, that looks awfully like the one I took for your book cover.
Doesn't it?
Talking of photographs, where is Geordie? He kindly offered to help me develop something I... Is anything wrong?
I'll write an article for the New Statesman on the disgraceful propaganda war being waged on the forces of culture and progress, fruit of an unholy alliance between the government and the Communist Party.
Yes, right, yeah.
I'll make a start after tonight's charades.
Of the many talented and illustrious people who have assisted in this creation, I am especially indebted to Mr. Toby Longworth, masterly in his performance of the role of myself, Lytton Strychnine; Miss Sally Grace for a towering portrayal of Mrs. Virginia Woolf; Mr. Nicholas Hardy, whose Johnny Maynard Coins was simply a triumph; Mr. Matthew Bell, majestic in his depiction of Clive Pill; Miss Sarah Parkinson, whose exposition of Mrs. Vanessa Pill was definitive; Miss Joanna Brooks, for a quite awe-inspiring delineation of Mrs. Vita Sockville Pest; Mr. Neil Ashdown, who endowed the part of Geordie Brown with an unaffected charm; and Mr. Christopher Emmett, who brought much-needed nobility to those other untalented but unavoidable characters, the butler, the wireless announcer, and the rabble-rouser. I must also thank Mr. Ivan Shakespeare for his services as amanuensis. Finally, my undying gratitude goes to Miss Elizabeth Anstey, without whose production skills the foregoing would simply not have been possible.